Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell, and today is, we're 7 days from Christmas. It's December 18th, 2017. I am going to be joined today by Johnny Fairplay, the notorious one. He will be calling in via Skype, so still waiting for him to get set up, and we're going to hope that his connection is smoother than the last time when he called in by phone. Of course, we will be talking about the WWE Clash of Champions show. We are here the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events. Normally, Will Pruitt is my guest. Today is his anniversary with his wife, and so they are off doing, well, Will and Christy things. So congratulations to them on their anniversary. And we'll also be talking about the Ring of Honor Final Battle show. We can talk about the XFL, or whatever the hell Vince McMahon is going to call this. I guess he's got a different name for whatever he's doing with football that still hasn't been officially announced, but plenty of topics to discuss here as we approach Christmas week, and we've now seen the final pay-per-view of 2017. I'm sure there's plenty of online pay-per-views and things, but of the bigger promotions, that was it last night. So what did you guys think? Let us know. Join the show. 773-897-6321 is your number to call if you would like to take part in the show. Once you do, hit 1 on your phone, and that lets us know that you indeed would like to take part in the show. Still waiting for Johnny Fairplay. Fairplay, if you're out there, DM me if you're already on the line, because I see a regular number that's similar to yours, but I want to make sure it's you before I just force somebody onto the air. Of course, you can join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw, Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown on Tuesday nights, and the .NET members are going to hear my audio review of Monday's Raw later on this evening, and for that matter, they are already listening to, I think, 58 minutes of a discussion that Jake Barnett and I had last night regarding the Clash of Champions show. I will just say that I ended up settling in at a C-plus grade. I was not impressed by the creative build to the show. It just relied too much on humor. I didn't feel like they set the right tone for most of the matches. But at the same time, I thought the wrestlers came through. I thought they delivered a good, solid performance really across the board on the show. Some matches better than others, of course. But and then I thought the way they kind of got out of the stipulation with the Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan thing was creative, and so I appreciated that. Fairplay's telling me he's there. Let's see if this is him. Johnny, is this you? It must not be Johnny. He claims he's here, yet Fairplay, there's nothing showing up from anyone on Skype, and that was a number closest to your area code, so I went with it. I can't remember his area code for sure. So, Fairplay, I know you're listening. Just DM me. Let me know what's going on. While we're waiting for Johnny, I think we should dive right into phone calls. Again, 773-897-6321 is the number to call if you would like to listen in. Well, obviously you're already listening in, but maybe you're at work going, wait, I can actually call on my phone instead of doing it on the computer. But more importantly, if you would like to join in the conversation, remember just to hit 1 on your phone. That lets us know that you're not just in listen-only mode and you actually want to take part in the show. Let's go to the 862 area code. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Kylan, Jason. How are you today?
Excellent, excellent. Johnny Fairplay, if you're listening, you don't go to Skype the way we normally do. You actually have to call into the show, nitwit. Sorry, I had to get that out of the way, Kylan, because he's telling me that he's DMing me on Skype, which doesn't work because I'm not on Skype. What am I going to do with this guy, Kylan?
I don't know. You can always replace him with me one day.
That's not a bad idea. Keep it up, Fairplay, and we've already found your replacement for the show. But, Kylan, while we're waiting for him, I hope you didn't have any Fairplay-specific questions. If you did, I can certainly forward them to him. But you usually have three questions. Why don't we take them one at a time? Start us off.
Okay. In that case, here we go. Question number one for you, Jason, is in regards to our lovely U.S. title match last night. Did Dolph Ziggler win because theory number one, Vince McMahon wants to prove to us who hate Dolph Ziggler because of the way he's been booked and the way he treats his old character, that Dolph Ziggler is still viable and still deserves to be in title contention. Or theory number two, Vince secretly hates Dolph Ziggler and wants to somehow bury him on his way out, but doesn't feel fully comfortable enough to do it. So he is using this title run as a somewhat last-ditch effort to keep Dolph, even though he really may not want him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with option number three, and this is guesswork. It's something Jake and I talked about last night, and I wrote about in my WWE Clash of Champions hit list, which is available at prowrestling.net, and that is, my guess is he's a transitional champion. They did this with the idea, you can't say protecting Baron Corbin because he took the pin, but my thought was that they were going to have Bobby Roode win the title and serve as a transitional champion. The fact that they didn't, I think, is actually a good thing for Roode. And it's going to seem strange to some people going, well, wait, he could have won a title and he didn't. Yeah, he could have won a title and then been pummeled by Jinder Mahal quickly and had a very forgettable title reign. I think you're more likely to use someone like Ziggler, especially if he truly is going to end up leaving the company, for a role like that. So that's my guess as far as where they're going with Jinder Mahal, because it's certainly, you know, the main event of the show didn't really create a need for another match with Jinder and AJ. It looks like it's over and done with. So what do you do next with Jinder Mahal? I don't think he needs to be in the WWE title picture, but I think he's a perfect fit as the Foreign Menace U.S. champion. And I think people will be more likely to accept him in that role than they have been, certainly, as a world champion. I'm actually excited about the possibility if they go in that direction, but Kyle, and I have no idea if they are. What else is on your mind today?
Okay, question number two for you. Now that the, in my opinion, and I repeat, my opinion, absolutely worthless Jinder Mahal experiment is over, what is next for our WWE champion AJ Styles? And is it at all possible that Dave Meltzer's current reporting is true and we could be getting AJ versus a strongly likely returning Dave Batista soon?
Oh, man, I hadn't really even thought about that one. That would be interesting. I guess, you know, I don't know where they're going next with him. It's one of the interesting things to watch here. What is his match at the Royal Rumble? Who does he defend the title against? And it could be, I had somebody ask me today, you know, what about Baron Corbin? If you recall, Corbin pinned AJ and won the U.S. Championship, so he does have that win. I'd like to think that if they were going to move Corbin into the title picture, they would have protected him last night by not having him take the loss in the triple threat. They may not care. They may just figure, whatever angle we're going to do with Corbin and Styles to set this up, you know, hopefully people are going to forget that he just dropped the title. Plus, it's the Royal Rumble. And as we always say, the Royal Rumble match sells the Royal Rumble. That's why you can get away with a less than stellar world title match on the Rumble. I mean, you can take the opposite approach and just, you know, swing for the fences and load up the entire show. Or you can figure that, well, by and large, you know, those who are going to watch the show are going to do so because of the Rumble match. So let's go with something a little bit zany here. Let's go with something that, you know, we wouldn't typically headline another show with. And so if it's Styles Corbin, well, that fits that description. I don't think too many people would be all that gung-ho about seeing that match headline a SmackDown-only pay-per-view. You put it on the Rumble. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just a match, but again, it's one you can get away with. The other weird scenario I came up with in my own warped brain today, Kylan, was that somehow or another, either Daniel Bryan because of his weird relationship with them, or even Shane McMahon because of his weird relationship with them, puts Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in a triple threat against AJ. And it sounds weird for Shane, but you go into it with the idea that he's betting on them self-destructing. You know, he dislikes them so much that he wants to prove a point, and these two are selfish, and they may act like friends, but when you dangle that carrot of the WWE Championship in front of them, let's see what happens. I don't know if they'll go with that, just a reach. What do you think of that match, Kyle?
It sounds possible.
Long shot, but possible. Yeah, I'm with you. I just kind of threw it out there. And then you had one last question for us, I believe?
I sure do. And my final question for you, Jason, was the finish of the Owens and Zayn versus Orton Nakamura match setting up what we have all been hoping for the last year and a half, at least year and a half officially since he retired, being the clearance and in-ring return of Daniel Bryan now that he has gone through several brain examinations with various neurosurgeons who have told him his brain is the quality of an average, normal human being with minimal to no concussion history whatsoever.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was hopeful. You know, if you're somebody who wants to see Daniel Bryan get back into a WWE ring and actually wrestle, I think the thing you were hoping to see last night was some physical involvement, some indication that he's been cleared medically, where maybe he can take a bump or something like that. And we really didn't get that. So, yeah, I don't know that, I mean, there's no indication he's been cleared yet. If he does return, I can't say Shane's at the top of my wish list, but hey, if you're going to tell a good story between now and WrestleMania, all right, you know, maybe it's not a match that I want to see, but it's not like it wouldn't have any appeal. So I think just Daniel Bryan getting back in the ring is a huge deal for WWE fans. So maybe never say never, I guess, is the approach I take on that one, just because even Daniel himself has said that there's a 15% chance, 1-5, 15, that they clear him medically in WWE. And if they don't, then, of course, it becomes interesting. Does he end up going elsewhere? Which he has made it clear. He intends to wrestle again unless he gets bad news from some of the medical testing that he's had done. So it's going to be a very, you know, 2018, one of the things to watch for is the future of Daniel Bryan. I believe that WWE deal will be up sometime September-ish. I can't remember the exact timeline. So we still have a ways to go, but it's going to be interesting to see, all right, do we see signs on television that, and maybe we are now, that they're working toward his in-ring return, or do we see signs that they're working toward life without Daniel Bryan, because he does intend to leave and wrestle elsewhere if they won't clear him medically. So, yeah, I wish I had a great answer for you there, Kylan, but I just don't. Let's bring Johnny Fairplay into the show. Johnny, are you on Skype or your phone?
My phone. I could not figure out how to Skype. It says you need Skype credit to call this number.
Oh, so you don't pay for Skype. That's why. No sweat. So far, so good. You sound good. Say again?
You pay for Skype?
You can. I don't know, but you can.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I don't know. It's whatever. I'm here. I'm excited. I've missed you. You made my fantasy football team the juggernaut that it is. So great to be here, Jason Powell.
Well, it's good to have you. And I don't know how much of how many of Kylan's first three questions did you have a chance to hear? Is there anything you wanted to add to those? I still have him on the line. If you'd like to say hi to the legendary Kylan from Newark, New Jersey.
Well, I'd like to say hi. I thought you answered with pretty much my answer across the board. So we're in agreement.
All right, Kylan, was that it for today, bud?
Well, let me just wrap up by saying that if the XFL can miraculously make a comeback, which as of right now it looks like we're going to hear that it is, then I don't think we should be shocked if Daniel Bryan manages to be cleared to show up in a WWE ring sooner rather than later.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's another never-say-never moment. Thank you, as always, for the call. We'll certainly chat about the potential XFL, or I guess URFL, I think is what they've put the trademark on or are filing for the rights to the name or something like that. Johnny, you're a football fan. United something or other. United Something Football League.
Okay. I think there's rumors that Diddy, also known as P. Diddy, for 2 days known as Brother Love, that didn't work out, that he's interested in purchasing the Carolina Panthers. I'd like the Panthers to stay where they are, and I would like him to invest in the URFL. I think that's a good pairing.
Now, I just actually, the more I look at it here, I see UFL, so I think it just would be the United Football League. Now,
or Universal.
Speak in a, yeah, it could be. I think, you know, I'm just looking at the filings here. I mean, there is something on URFL, so I don't know if it's like United Real Football League or something, if they've convinced that. I mean, that was part of Vince's game last time, was where's my football? He wasn't happy with some of the changes that have been made for safety reasons or whatever the case was. And, you know, I'm looking, but, you know, I just remember at the time going, okay, as someone who was open-minded to this, that, well, you know, maybe they can do enough ratings-wise to keep this interesting, I didn't think the approach was right. You know, especially at that time, there's much more friction with the fans in the NFL these days, and I still don't think it's a good idea to go opposite the NFL and tear them down and think that somehow you're going to benefit from that. I'm hoping this is like there's some sort of an affiliation there where it's like they intend to act as kind of a feeder system, a minor league, if you will, to the NFL, and then maybe it I mean, the NFL Europe didn't do well. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of interest here. What I hope is that this isn't a case of Vince and some of his, you know, cronies convincing themselves that, well, there's so much outrage over players kneeling for the anthem that now is the time. Because, all right, just even if there are great numbers of people outraged, Johnny, it doesn't mean they're going to want to watch an inferior football product.
No, my biggest qualm, I mean, you know, you and I are both football fans and appreciate good football. My biggest qualm the first go-around was I think they should have had, like, practice, non-televised practice games kind of work out the kinks, not work it out as you go on TV. Like, that was painful. I mean, because I thought as the season went on, the games did get better. You know, they did figure out, you know, what the problems were in their concept. But no one wants to see you figure that out as you go, and I think anyone that they could have had towards the end, they lost in the beginning.
Yeah, that's just it. By the time the game quality got better, people had moved on. People had given up on this, on the whole thing. I wouldn't invest my money if I were Vince. I mean,
no.
He's got a lot of it with the Alpha Entertainment Group. What he's basically doing is doing this away from WWE. So it's like his money, not putting
non-stock.
WWE stock. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so,
I'm
best
curious.
Of luck to him, but.
Yeah, I'd first go around, he had, JR and the King doing commentary. He had Opie and Anthony. Didn't he have Jesse Ventura doing commentary? I mean, so he had, what was the game I was watching yesterday for fantasy reasons? It was No. This was a game that I would not normally watch.
Isn't it great how fantasy does that?
I didn't play fantasy in the beginning because I was just like, no, like I don't want it to ruin football for me. And now, you know, I'm watching Bills versus who did the Bills play yesterday?
The Dolphins.
Yes, which I no reason to watch that game whatsoever. So I'm watching that game fantasy wise, and there's a female commentator that. If any problems you have with Booker T, there's nothing compared to this lady. I welcome anyone Vince has over the person that was forced, you know, to listen to yesterday afternoon.
Okay, yeah, they had it on the Red Zone channel occasionally, but I didn't really get a feel for her call. Speaking of calls, 773-897-6321. If you are on hold right now, going, hey, why aren't they getting to my call? It's because you haven't hit one on your phone to let us know that you would like to join the conversation. Johnny, Kylan talked a lot about Clash of Champions. So I do want to get your thoughts on last night's show, whether it's AJ Styles retaining, Ziggler winning the U.S. Championship, or the tag team match, whatever jumps out, I guess. What are the highlights coming out of the show? And then we can move into some of the lowlights.
Well, the highlights were the showcasing of Simon and Alice on the front row when Nakamura made his entrance, and Simon got to do the gesture, and I contacted WWE camera guys, and my buddy goes, yeah, he goes, I just messaged this too. I'm just like, you just showed Mom Boy and his mom on a close-up. What are you doing? So that was the highlight for me. And Simon, for those of you that don't know, there's a mom and son tandem that are typically front row for WWE pay-per-views. They typically there's also a guy in a neon green shirt who was also present last night, right beside Simon and Alice. And my friends and I have a backstory that we put together for them, but we like to gauge their reactions. They love the lovable losers. They're a big fan of the Heath Slaters of the world, the Dolph Zigglers. Very, very good night for Simon and that Dolph Ziggler one. But during the AJ Jinder Mahal match, they were rooting for Jinder Mahal, and they were there was a near fall for Jinder, and he didn't get the three. They're like, that should have been three ref. That was ridiculous. And so we analyzed. They, as I mentioned earlier, they like the lovable losers. They like three-man bands. So they're sitting there, you know, like, hey, you know, we like Jinder. We like Drew McIntyre. And he's, that's our guy. So, you know, Jinder, he never really – the people changed. Jinder didn't. You should be rooting for Jinder. So, yeah, you know, they might like that AJ Styles. It might be a Ring of Honor AJ or possibly an X Division. But, you know, from Portia on, no way. That's on the loser.
So you are just obsessed with Simon and his mom.
I am.
I've seen them, but you were the one bringing them up to me going, who are these people? Except for those who don't know, Simon is usually front row for the pay-per-views, front and center, and
mom.
He has the longer hair. You probably noticed him at one time or another.
Yeah, he has a goth look. He butched it up last night a little bit. So I'm a big fan. He's Clash Champions. You got to dress it up.
How much of this is just you are extremely jealous that Simon can afford to go to all of these events and you can't?
Oh well, there is that. There's immensely that. And number two, this was a throwaway pay per view. So if it were not for that to entertain myself and friends, I mean, like there we have, you know, four of us that as I said, you know, we tell the story of how we feel. We're under the impression that Simon's dad passed away. He was never a fan of wrestling. They're using the inheritance, you know, to pay for this. Three-man band, his dad always hated three-man band, you know, never saw a future for Jinder. Drew McIntyre, you know, possibly a journeyman indie star at best, you know, probably no shot at going back to NXT and maybe, you know, reaching for that brass ring, making it onto the main roster. So, yes, we
wow.
Last night was a very boring pay-per-view, Jason Powell.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the most exciting one, that's for sure. If anyone listening has interacted with him, knows the guy, I'd actually love to talk to him just to find out, like,
yeah.
What is the story here? You know, even if he doesn't want to go into detail on how they can afford it, still, just, you know, it'd be fun to talk with the guy and figure out, you know, I mean, he's obviously a passionate fan, and I assume that his mother is as well. And I know the one time I noticed him last night, I mean, you kind of, oh, there he is, and then I just kind of forget about him. But he was all in on the Rusev love. He definitely loved some Rusev.
He was all in on Rusev. He had two separate Dolph Ziggler posters last night. He had the give me Ziggler or give me Death poster, and then later upon the championship win, he had a second Tiger Stripes Dolph Ziggler poster. So and
now,
then later in the show, he had a something for the Ascension poster. So as I said, they love the lovable losers.
Well, when you go to all of these shows, I mean, inevitably you're going to end up having some interaction. I wonder how much they're, you know, who they cheer for and who they root against is based on that. You know, who's nice to them and who's not.
Well, Ziggler is usually, I mean, after every match, like a Ziggler, a Heath Slater, a Zack Ryder. I don't even know about the Ascension, you know, being when they were heels, but those you see those types of wrestlers go to them afterwards for the adulation. I mean, because like. They're using glitter on their. I mean, like it's not like they're making a poster that you know you scribbled in the parking lot in 2 minutes. I mean, these are like you know 3 hour poster dedications. So and some wrestlers, I'm not like I mean you know when if you make me a poster, I'm going to rip it up like that. there's no appreciation for the hard work that you put and dedication that you put into your love for me. So, but the Ziggler types. They like that. They're big fans of that. Don't let them fool you. So yeah. So I was curious to see if Ziggler would make his way over after the U.S. title win, and they spent a lot of time showing highlights of the match. And as I said, the camera crew, you know, who I'm friends with, a few of the guys, they are well aware of the Simons and the Alices and others, and they don't show them on television purposely. So they, you know. Which I talked with a sign guy. USA Network did a character's welcome profile on Rick, the WB sign guy. And when he shows up for shows, he has his pouch, you know, full of posters. And they go, "Hey, Rick, you can set your posters right over here, and we're going to move you to non-camera side, and this is where you'll seat. And you know, please don't stand up. Please draw no attention to yourself, and enjoy the show."
Wow. Why don't they just put him on the payroll? Give him free tickets and, you know, I mean, it just seems like I mean, maybe they know something about him that we don't. I don't know the guy at all. But it just seems goodwill ambassador. People seem to like him.
Yeah, no, USA Network did a character's welcome profile on him. So, no, after the since then, that no, they hate him. He shows up, they're just like, no, you cannot hold up your poster. We do not want you on our television show and come to the non-camera side. And do not stand
That's
up.
That's crazy. Wow.
So, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's just like, oh, where did this guy come from? USA Network did a profile. The USA Network is saying, this is the passionate people that we want to watch our network. And WWE, in response, says, do not stand up. Do not draw attention to yourself. You're stupid for bringing posters. You're stupid for supporting our product.
It'd be like back in the day, if I don't even remember which network the AFC games were on, probably NBC, but when Barrel Man was still alive, the old Denver Broncos fan, he would show up shirtless, wearing a barrel. Real thing. I met the guy. I went to Denver. It was a great moment in my life. I was so excited to meet Barrel Man. But imagine if they just were like, oh, don't show that loser. I mean, that's kind of what they're doing with poor sign guy.
It was disheartening because you know you didn't know. I got a seven month old baby giving me the cutest look in the world right now, Jason. I'm killing the mystique of Johnny Fairplay by the second. So, I do not understand wrestling. I mean, like you and I have talked, you know, off air. Wrestling's hatred of their ultra fans. I mean, like, this is what you – I mean, like, you know, other than coming to my house, this is what you want in a fan.
Yeah, it seems like it. You got to leave the door open ever so slightly that, well, maybe there's a reason that we don't know about. But, yeah, I have my suspicions like you do, Johnny. Now that we have Simon Watch 2017 behind us, what did you think of the actual pay-per-view event?
I liked the tag team turmoil match. I thought that was fun. I like Rusev. Aiden English, I'm not the biggest fan of. I think his look is just weird. And, you know, maybe like the all-black trunks aren't doing it for me. Maybe if he has something that works in conjunction to the new Rusev Day trunks, I could get behind that. But, you know, just the pasty white, like it looks like he has muscles where he shouldn't have muscles and doesn't have muscles where he should have muscles. Like it's just, I'm not feeling it. So that's – but, you know, I'm also sitting here looking at, you know, this tandem, and I'm just like, why – is this, or how is this an improvement over Lana? Because it's not.
Yeah, I think it's time to spin Rusev off as a babyface singles wrestler. You know, for the longest time, I wanted to see him play the role of monster heel, and they've had chances. They did another reboot of that, and it looked like when he came to SmackDown, they were going to, and it's just right back to comedy. And rather than having him be a heel who happens to be beloved and comedic, just flip it. And as far as Aiden English goes, I mean, if you want to put the focus on them as a tag team, you can. I just think Aiden English, it feels a little bit like he's along for the ride with this, with the love that they're getting. I think he's a good, dependable, lower mid-card kind of an act where he can go out there and sing and get that negative reaction. And I mean, I'm really happy that the guy has clicked by reverting to his NXT gimmick after his tag team partner ended up leaving the company. But, yeah, Rusev is the guy I would be focusing on as a babyface singles act, especially when you have, I don't know, just not that I care about their history together on Raw necessarily, but why couldn't Rusev be that guy that we thought Nakamura would be, who instead of, you know, listens to Jinder Mahal put down the American fans and he's the one who stands up for them? I think that writes itself.
Yeah, I mean, I would with right now with the popularity of Rusev and with, I mean, if they're gonna do this, if they're gonna go in on Rusev, I have Aiden English with him, and I have some dastardly heel attack and demolish Aiden English. Take him off TV. Like, I mean, just you put the beat down and you know, so it's a sympathetic character. Rusev, you know, can't get there in time and it's the move that transitions Rusev to this ultimate babyface position. And then you know, down the road, Aiden English comes back. And he's, you know, he's evil, and he's with, you know, some other dastardly guy, and you know, they pulled the wool over on Rusev, and you have a nice feud there. So, but I don't want him to be a tag team, and you know, and I don't need Rusev with the second of Aiden English as a babyface, you know, whatever there is to that.
Well, I want to get more thoughts on Clash of Champions. I don't know if you saw Final Battle. I did. I can certainly comment on that. You're welcome to join in the conversation. We've got a slow day for that, with it being Monday, of course. So very easy to get on the show. Call 773-897-6321. Once you're in, hit 1 on your phone. That lets us know that you're not just in listen-only mode. You actually want to join in on the conversation. But Johnny, for those who don't know Johnny Fairplay, you may remember him from Ring of Honor, TNA, Tough Enough. You were at least on the phone on Tough Enough. And, of course, Survivor, the television series Survivor on CBS. And Johnny has kind of managed to, I guess, bring the worlds together of pro wrestling and Survivor in a weird way. It's a Survivor podcast that you're doing, but it's hosted by the ever-popular Conrad Thompson along with yourself, who, of course, Conrad does the Tony Schiavone and Bruce Pritchard podcast over at MLW. And so the two of you talking Survivor, and you even did one show where Conrad couldn't make it, and that Pritchard guy filled in. Tell us about Survival of the Fairest.
Yeah, you can check it out on anywhere that you can find podcasts, through either Apple Podcasts or any of the 8 zillion other ways, or just go to the website. It's survivalofthefairest.com. That's survival, not survivor, survivalofthefairest.com. And it's me and Conrad Thompson, the award-winning Conrad Thompson. We talked off the air. If you listened to this past week's episode, I congratulated Conrad on winning Sports Illustrated Podcast of the Year. And this wasn't an on-air conversation, but I thought it was funny because I was just like, hey, you know, like you've won Podcast of the Year by, you know, it's like some of the, you know, the nerd awards. You know, it's just like, yeah, we do pod. You know, it's like, no, you. Studs in the world of studs, Sports Illustrated, has decided that Conrad Thompson and Bruce Pritchard have the best podcast of the year. And I listen to it weekly. I think it's a great podcast, and I'm happy to do a weekly Survivor podcast with Conrad. He is a great co-host, and we have a lot of fun. We dissect the show. We plug T-shirts just like Conrad does on Something to Wrestle With and What Happened When Mondays with Tony Schiavone. And so if you are interested in Survivor T-shirts and, you know, semi-wrestling related shirts, we have a Blindside Bro featuring Vince Russo. I did get Vince Russo's permission to do the shirt. But if you go to JohnnyFairPlay.com, you can spell it with an H or without an H. I don't, but I have both websites. So just go to JohnnyFairPlay.com, buy a shirt. And for $24.99, you get a shirt, and I call you and thank you for your purchase. I think that's a wonderful Christmas present at any time of year, but especially during Christmas. And it's
can you pay extra so that you don't call them?
Sure. I can just give you a direct link to my PayPal. Just, you know, slip into the DMs on Twitter. That's at Johnny Fairplay without an H there. But this Wednesday is the season finale of Survivor Heroes versus Hustlers versus Healer.
Some other H.
And or Survivor Triple H, as we like to call it. And it's the two-hour finale, one-hour live reunion special. It's going to be a the season started slow. It's picked up. It's great. Our one of our favorites, Sick Dr. Mike, is still in it. Ben, the veteran, if you've missed an episode this season, he reminds you every episode that he is a veteran. And he served in our nation's military. And so check with us this Wednesday after the show is over. About an hour later, we get it uploaded and post-produced, and we usually have a song from Matt Coon, and it's a good time. You people are listening. You people are subscribing, and thank you. People ask me, I get, you know, feedback, you know, through social media, and they go, God, Johnny, why don't you do a wrestling podcast? I do. It's called Jason Powell Says, Hey, Johnny, do you want to join me this week? And that is more than enough. And if it's not enough, tonight or I guess tomorrow morning, you can catch me on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One. But collectively, I am more than happy and more than good, and I have reached my quota of wrestling podcasts. So thank you very much, Jason Powell.
Very good. And I will be telling you in a little bit here about details about ProWrestling.net's member site, but we have a couple of callers lined up. Let's get to them now. Up now is 443. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
This is Kevin from...
Could you repeat that? It sounded like you cut out a little bit.
Kevin from Baltimore.
Hey, Kevin. What's going on?
I'm just sitting back listening to the show, and I was calling in because I wanted to talk about the clash. Watched the tag team match back today because I didn't get to catch the whole thing yesterday, but I watched the tag team match, and I thought that was really, really good. And I thought that the Usos, all of those teams were really, I think, clicking to the point where they could have an entertaining match. And I was trying to really kind of give a shout out to the performers. I can't remember a show where they haven't like stolen the show or had a great match. As far as like tag team action, whether it's been the Usos and New Day, which I think is like the feud of the year in the WWE pretty much so far in 2017. But I mean, I was just really wanting to get you guys' thoughts on, I mean, how those matches are coming about every pay per view.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, I think it just comes down to talent. You know, I mean, it's just that with Usos, New Day especially, those guys have been in there for, you know, how many times now together? They get the best out of one another. I wish the builds to the matches, as was the case with this one, wasn't so comedic. I mean, I get what New Day is, and I get their act, but I like when they kind of put the comedy aside and set the tone that, hey, this is going to be different. You may know us for comedy, but this is different. I didn't feel like they did that this time around. I felt like the whole build was comedic to the point that I think people's guards were kind of down a little bit, and this exceeded everyone's expectations.
Yeah, I loved. I mean, I think it might be feud of the year as far as best matches and stuff like that. I think the reason they are so entertaining is the New Day and the Usos. Their personalities are off the charts. They're entertaining individuals, and collectively, you know, just as entertaining, if not more. Athletically, they've got it down. I mean, you know, the New Day, they know their characters, they know their moveset and all that. The Usos, they do a great Young Bucks impression. ooh, eat. But I enjoy it. I mean, you know, when they say this is the last time and then you see them again, I don't get upset. Would I prefer a more serious tone? Sure. You know, we did have the switch of the Usos from heel to face without explanation. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that they are now faces. They act like faces. Just let them be mean. You know, I did like the 12 Days of Usos. I thought that was very, very clever and fun, and my friends enjoyed it. They popped. So, no, I mean, it is what it is. I love better storylines created for them, but, I mean, you know, it's the end of the year. Save that stuff for after football season. Let's see where we're at and have this discussion, you know, going into March.
Yeah, and I think the tricky part now is you have two really popular babyface tag teams in the Usos and New Day, and, you know, Bludgeon Brothers are kind of just getting off the ground. We'll see where that goes. And then you have Gable and Benjamin, who haven't really clicked, even though I thought last night was a breakout performance in some ways for Chad Gable. You know, people in NXT or who watched him in NXT were not surprised, but I think that performance kind of wowed some people who maybe didn't see some of that work. And then the other team is Rusev and Aiden English, who are basically baby faces right now. So they're kind of missing that strong heel team. Maybe the Bludgeon Brothers can be it. But Kevin, did you have more for us today?
Well, yeah, I was curious as to now with it being, you know, obviously Royal Rumble season, who do you guys think are the favorites on, I guess, each brand? Like, you get like a favorite and maybe a secondary on who you think maybe for Raw options and SmackDown options?
Yeah, my favorite right now to win the Rumble is Shinsuke Nakamura, just because yes, Roman Reigns has to be in the conversation, but I think it would be a mistake to go into Philadelphia and have him win in front of that audience that is going to have their guard up for him winning anyway. And they're going to turn on him, you know, and they clearly want him to be cheered. So I don't do it. It just seems too obvious where Nakamura is going to get the type of reaction you like. Hopefully it breathes some life into him. And so, I mean, that's the guy I'm going with. Johnny, your thoughts?
The Miz!
Let's hear why.
I like the Miz.
So you want Miz and Brock Lesnar?
No. As Sam Roberts described on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast on Podcast One, knowing that if you attempt to let Roman Reigns win the Royal Rumble in Philadelphia again, that is a recipe for disaster. So maybe, you know, someone else has to be the viable option. And that being said, how about a Miz surprise victory? And, you know, and it's just like, wow, Miz, you know, you really think you can beat Brock Lesnar? It's like, hell no. I'm going to SmackDown. I like my chances against AJ Styles. I feuded with him before. I got his number. You know, I haven't been spending this off time making an amazing movie like The Marine 18. No, I've been studying AJ Styles. I know his weakness now. I am going to beat him at WrestleMania. I'm going to have a WrestleMania moment. It's going to be magical, and you're all here to witness it. So, and go back to the writing team that understood the character of The Miz and had him at right there at that main event level where he should still be, you know, before, you know, being sent over to Raw.
I want to see Miz in a main event picture. I think it's a better fit on SmackDown, for sure. With the size difference, I mean, right now, Miz against Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar and that. Eh, you know,
no,
Nick doesn't
yeah,
work.
It doesn't work on any level there.
But I
it's a smaller brand.
Well, and I just think that here's the thing. As much as I like what Miz has done, and I think there's real upside there, I think they need to strike while they can on Nakamura.
Nakamura HA is a good pick. It's a good match. I wouldn't mind out of nowhere Finn Balor wins the Rumble and once again going to and him saying, hey, I got AJ's number. I beat him at whatever that pay per view that last minute substitution outbreak the non recognized outbreak of mumps or whatever it was.
Right.
So maybe Finn Balor goes over. I thought it was kind of strange that Finn Balor had a new T-shirt released over the weekend that says Balor Club Forever, and the O-B-E-R was capitalized in that. Well, that was, they're going really, really, really far with this whole over thing.
I mean, it just seems like the idea was that he was, in theory, he was giving them a little backlash. It was like Finn Balor trying to rally the troops because Vince McMahon didn't think he was over. And my guard was always kind of up, like, this feels a little orchestrated. I don't know that he's going to rock the boat like this. Maybe he's to the point he doesn't care, but there was something about it that felt orchestrated. When you actually move it on to official WWE merch, I mean, I think that says it all, doesn't it?
I think so. Maybe everyone's making roots, and there's nothing to worry about, nothing to see here. I don't know. I mean, I'm enthralled by this mistrage of Finn Balor.
Your phone line's going to hell, John.
Oh, are you serious?
Or maybe speak into the mic a little better. I'm not sure.
Hold on. It's because I had a call. That was the problem. Sorry.
Yeah, you sound better.
No. Okay, yeah, it was the call trying to come in. So, no, I mean, this Mistourage Finn Balor feud, I mean, if it can carry us into Mania, I'm cool. I mean, shoot, heavy hitters here. I don't know. I think Nakamura is the safest bet for Rumble, but I would like to be surprised. When is Wrestle Kingdom and when is the Royal Rumble? And, is there a possibility of Kenny Omega being a surprise entrant into the Rumble?
I don't see it. I mean, it's Wrestle Kingdom January 4th. The Rumble, I think, is the 28th. It's late in the month, weekend between the conference championships for football and the Super Bowl. So thank God they're back on that schedule, unlike the 1 year. But, I mean, it's wrestling. You never say never, but it's one of those seeing is believing kind of things. But, hey, I didn't think we'd see Chris Jericho in New Japan on January 4th, and that's happening. So while I don't think we're going to see it, it'd be a hell of a lot of fun if they did pull it off. We got a couple more people lined
Cody
up.
Cody Rhodes, did he leave or did he lose the Ring of Honor World Championship because he could
he
be
did
in play?
Drop the title.
I mean, there's because he did, correct, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's rumors that WWE has been pursuing Brandi Rhodes, maybe just because she's on the show WAGS and they like the synergy there, or maybe it's because they are making a move for Cody and you get the girl and the guy follows. So maybe where there's smoke there's fire with Cody losing the Ring of Honor Championship this past week.
Well, keep in mind that Impact tried that approach by signing Brandi, and Cody was a free agent, and except they didn't sign her or something. Whatever it was, we see how that played out, as they're both. Now Cody's a regular in Ring of Honor now, and she makes appearances. But let's go to 715, Wisconsin call, probably counting down the hours until the end of the Packers' playoff hopes. With the game against the Falcons tonight. 715, who's this, and whereabouts in Wisconsin are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Jake from northern Wisconsin, Stevens Point, if anybody out there knows where that is. But
I actually do.
In the Packers. Yeah, I go to school here in Stevens Point. So
Is this Jake from State Farm? I know what you're wearing.
That's been my Halloween costume the past, 4 years, actually, so it works pretty well.
Nice. There we go.
Yeah, once you find one, just roll with it and go to different parties. That's been my approach.
Exactly.
Well, you don't
exactly.
get invited to the same party twice, Jason. That's
that's true. Yeah, my friends know I'm just a dirtbag and would rather stay home anyway, so I don't get invited anymore.
Yeah, you spend $10 embroidering a shirt, just put State Farm on a red polo, and you're set for life, I'm telling you.
Perfect. What's on your mind today, Jake?
I like this guy.
Yeah. Just a couple different things you guys have been talking about that I wanted to touch on. First of all, I'm a huge football fan as well. I'm in fantasy football finals in my money league, so that's good. But I just don't see how this whole thing that Vince wants to do is going to work. Violence was a big angle. Big hitting was a big angle last time. And now with all the concussion issues and, like, safety and stuff like that, and the fact that he doesn't even let his wrestlers do, like, the extent of what they probably have the ability of doing a lot of the time, I just don't see what angle he's going to get in.
They have helmets.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I mean, the XFL concept can't be done this time around. I mean, it just would – so much of it was, like you say, the violence aspect and then the sex appeal. You know, we're going to go inside the cheerleader's locker room. So, you know, that's not going to fly. In 2018, it's just not. People are going to be turned off.
Can we have Stephanie in the crowd with the people and get the crowd react? That was my favorite part. The Something to Wrestle With podcast. They had Bruce Pritchard did an episode on the XFL, and the highlight for me was there was one episode where they had Stephanie McMahon as a in the crowd correspondent. And the producer's like, man, this is great. Look, they're chanting behind her. And this is, you know, and like, you know, they're chanting, she's a whore. She's a whore.
Yeah. You know,
exactly.
We'll see what he has in mind, though. I guess that's the thing. You know, is there some NFL involvement in this and they're not going to try to fight against the NFL, which I just don't think is a bright idea. So, what else did you want to talk about?
Yeah, real quick, and you know Vince's two favorite football players of all time.
Who's that?
Big Cat Ernie Ladd and Wahoo McDaniel.
There you go. All right, take it away, Jake.
All right, well, I wanted to ask a question about last night. The triple threat match was probably my favorite match overall. Do you think that WWE needs to do more to, like, showcase Bobby Roode on the main roster? Because I know he made a comment. And he said he needs to do more to show the SmackDown crowd why the NXT crowd thinks he's glorious. And obviously he's great in NXT, so just do you think they need to give him more opportunity? Does he need to do more in the ring, or what needs to change there, if anything?
I was pleasantly surprised for him last night when the crowd was very vocal in his favor. And yeah, it was opening match, and you know, you're going to get a hot crowd at that point in your show. But still, I mean, they were very into chanting Bobby Roode. That was good. For me, Johnny, it just comes down to, I don't know, but it's showing people what makes them glorious as much as it is get rid of the glorious thing. I think it's very one-dimensional. Once the thrill of the ring entrance goes away, you're left with a guy who just says glorious a lot. And I think he's more talented than that. I would find a way to turn him heel and ditch the glorious routine. Your thoughts, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, it screams perfect 10 to me.
Yeah.
Who's that other guy that...
Ty Dillinger.
It has that feel to it that I hate. It's just a one dimensional, you know, one note wrestler. And I think Bobby Roode is more than that. And I didn't think he should have come in as a babyface. I understand, you know, with that entrance is going to get a pop, but you know, I think he should have worked around it and told the fans, you know, screw off. You know, my entrance is glorious, and you're not allowed to enjoy it. You know, and maybe say it enough to where they boo when he comes out and attempts the glorious. But, you know, I think right now all it is just working against that, and which, you know, I think he has an inning to get past that, you know. But I don't want to see him switch, Tuesday night. I don't want to see him switch in 2 months. I mean, it's I hate a character that flip-flops back and forth. I think that'll work even more against that character. So, I mean, I think they made the wrong decision on bringing him in as a babyface, and, you know, I want the right circumstance to turn him, and if he has to, you know, tread water until then, I guess tread water until then.
Yeah, good point, because you don't want to just go, this isn't where, let's just turn the guy. We don't really have a plan in place. Let him, you know, let his character establish a friendship or something so that it means something when he turns. Because right now, I mean, who would you turn him on? It wouldn't even make any sense. So, yeah, good point, Johnny.
Oh, Dolph Ziggler, because he's got the connection with the crowd, and he wears the Stars and Stripes tights. For what reason? Why is he wearing Stars and Stripes as a heel?
I assume some 80s metal band had an American-themed album cover. I don't know.
Oh, does he not have a cool friend, like one cool friend that just says, hey, you're a heel, dress like a heel, act like a heel, stop trying to do the same gimmick you've tried for 9 years unsuccessfully, you know, and if it did work 9 years ago, okay, it's time for a new thing. So, no, the Chucks with the neon shirt and the sport, like, everything is just like, he just keeps going into the same bag of tricks, and it's just like there's another bag, there's another store. You know, like, if all your friends that you're talking to for advice are telling you to reach into the same bag, then you need new friends, and you definitely need a new bag.
He's a U.S. champion, and you're not, Johnny. Fair play.
That's true. That's true. But I don't think he'll be U.S. champion for long, and I don't think he'll be a U.S. champion that anyone cares about. So,
no,
and
I'm with
like
you
Don
on that.
Ziggler. I like him. I think there's something there, but I think he needs to fresh. I mean, like, you know, when he was doing the whole, you know, I got a new entrance thing, I'm just like, number one, thank God, get rid of that song. That could not be any more play. I mean, like who's a cool band? Like, you know, find a cool band. Get them, you know, like, you know, I'm listening to, you know, 6 hours on Something to Wrestle With talking about Edge. And, you know, and Edge was like, hey, Rob Zombie's cool. Can I get a song? Can we work out a deal where we trade, you know, we promote his record? You know, like why can't something like that be happening right now with Dolph Ziggler? I mean, I don't need, you know, I'm here to show the world that you haven't had a new idea for your character in 12 years.
How do you really feel? Jake, what else is on your mind?
Yeah, no, I agree with all the Dolph stuff, and I just hope, I think Bobby's a good, really good wrestler. I hope that they find a way to keep promoting because I like watching him. My last question is, how excited are you guys?
How do I feel about Dolph Ziggler?
No, I think I already know the answer to that. But,
okay.
how excited are you guys for the Kenny Omega Chris Jericho match? And I just recently found out it's going to be a no DQ match. So who do you think is going to win, and what are your expectations?
Yeah, Johnny, I mean, I'll just say I'm very excited. I haven't given a lot of thought as to who's going to go over, but I guess I assume it's Omega because there is their version of the U.S. title at stake, and I just don't know how long Jericho is going to be doing business with New Japan. You know, right now it kind of has the feel of a short-term deal, maybe just, you know, leading up to, and then obviously this show could be more, but right now I just kind of assume Omega wins. What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I think it's a one and done. Omega wins. I'm predicting 7 stars. Right? I mean, come on. So, no, I think work rate wise, do not expect the Okada Omega masterpieces that we've seen the last 2 years. But I think it's going to be I think it should be an emotional. 4+ star street fight brawl, and I think those are difficult to pull off, and I think these two are going to do it.
I sure hope you're right. I'm looking forward to that. January 4th, that show will be middle of the night sometime. So my plan right now, and barring illness, because that can get, I bring that up because a family member is sick, and my girlfriend just spent time with this family member, and I'm like, no, God, no, not before the holidays, but as long as I'm healthy, the plan is to stay up and do the live coverage like a lunatic in the middle of the night for the Tokyo Dome show. I'm looking forward to it that much. And if you don't have New Japan World, that's your place to see it. There's no actual pay-per-view television as there was that 1 year when Jeff Jarrett spearheaded that. But if you, you can always wait until I think it's that Friday night, and Access is going to end up playing it with the Jim Ross and Josh Barnett commentary as well. Running out of time here, but we are going to go to 610. Who is this, and where are you calling from? You are our last caller of the day.
My name is Daniel. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
What's going on, Daniel?
Not much. I just want to say that I think that Johnny Fairplay is kind of on the right track when it comes to the Royal Rumble. I believe it is going to be somebody from the Omega Jericho fight that will win the Rumble or actually appear in the Rumble, and it's going to be Jericho. And honestly, I do believe that he will appear and win the Rumble, but I believe he will actually go on to fight Lesnar.
Oh. I was thinking, all right, Jericho and Styles again. Yeah, there's at least history there, but you think it's Jericho and Lesnar?
Yep. Can you imagine the Paul Heyman, Chris Jericho, Mike battles before to build up the event?
Yeah, it would be good. I mean, I don't know. It's not really jumping out at me as like that WrestleMania headliner. You know, for some reason, not that it's a match I'd never want to see or anything. I just think all signs point to Roman Reigns and beating Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's what they've been working toward. And so that's why I don't know that you're going to get to see that match, but I think, you know, Jericho winning is certainly a creative idea.
See,
I love the optimism.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, you're not going to believe this. How about Jericho and Brock? Hell yeah. <He's great.
laughs> I'm sorry, but Roman Reigns, the name Roman Reigns, is just like a four-letter word in my mouth. It's just, it doesn't sound good. And personally, I would rather see him stretchered out, pushed over in an ambulance by Braun Strowman again and never seen again. So that's just my opinion. But
so he's
going to
be really over with you and your fellow Philadelphians.
Oh, yeah. He's really over. Yeah. Are
you going to the Rumble?
That's the plan, yes. I will be one of the ones booing Roman Reigns.
Okay. I'm on the fence. I've never been to a Rumble. I've been to, I think, 6 Manias. And a bunch of other, you know, lots of Starcades, but I've never done a Rumble. And I think Philly's as close as I'm going to get, you know, to Virginia, North Carolina. So I'm debating. So I will be booing Roman Reigns as well. And I have a picture with Roman Reigns, and he was a sweetheart when I met him. And I will still be booing the crap out of Roman Reigns.
What are you trying to say, Daniel? Is Kenny crash on your house for the old weekend?
Yeah,
on your couch, I should say.
Yeah, I'm bringing 3 friends. you won't even notice we're there. And what does your wife look like?
Oh my God!
Well, I'm single, so no luck there. So, but also I'm a huge Survivor fan, so I know how good do you lie. So let's go there.
Are you listening to the podcast, as Survival of the Fairest podcast?
Yes, I also I've watched every single season of Survivor. I listen to your podcast. Yes, I'm into a lot of reality TV, especially Survivor and Big Brother. So,
well, have cool. You ordered a T-shirt from JohnnyFairplay.com?
Not yet.
Just tell him yes. Just lie. He'd lie to you. Lie to him.
I would not.
Yeah.
Lie to this guy.
I mean, there
I'm
is.
His
we all know how.
I'm staying his house for Mania too, Jason. I'm gonna get there at Rumble. And I'm staying through for Roadblock. It's gonna be great. You won't even notice. It'll be good time.
Well, anyway, just real quick, I want to get you guys' opinion on when do you think Carmella is going to cash in, and I want to talk about how you guys talked about a little bit about Cody Rhodes losing the Ring of Honor world title. Now,
yeah.
Do you both realize that Cody and Dustin have the exact same hairstyle now? They're both growing out the white hair.
Yeah, I'm a fan. So my friends, I showed my friends last night while we were watching pay-per-view Cody's hair, and they're like, he's going to gain 200 pounds in 3 weeks.
Yeah, all of a sudden it was the natural Cody Rhodes. I was when I saw the hair, I'm like, oh, he must be retaining the championship, and then he didn't. So I was, yeah, I can't say I was shocked by Castle winning. I don't know that it's the move I would have gone with. I so much of the key now is the follow-up with Dalton Castle. I thought they had a pretty good thing going with Cody, and I think I would have left it alone. My fear is that we're going to go with Dalton for a couple of months and put it back on Cody. I don't think that's the right move with Castle. So hopefully the timing is right on this, and he's going to be a guy they go with and give an honor. You know, hopefully they're not sitting around already knowing when they're scheduled to have him drop the title because they're really invested in him and they really think he can be the guy. That's what I'm looking for there. I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
Johnny, I don't know if you get to see the pay-per-view, but your thoughts on Cody dropping the title to Dalton Castle?
I followed along the pay-per-view via prowrestling.net. It is my favorite wrestling website, and I read along. The author of the column giving me live updates, his name's Jason Powell, good looking guy, well spoken,
yeah.
Wordsmith. And yeah, I followed along that way, and from what I read, it sounded like one humdinger of a main event, and there was a ref bump.
Yeah,
humdinger, really?
Yeah, it wasn't a great main event. It was solid, you know. And then they did the ref bump to, I guess, swerve the TNA crowd. I mean, that's what TNA started doing. They had so many ref bumps that they would book a ref bump that wasn't the finish. And then you were supposed to be all excited, and it worked a couple of times because people were so conditioned to, all right, ref bump means the heel's going to win another bad TNA finish. But I don't know why Ring of Honor felt the need to do the ref bump and all of that. I didn't quite get that. Did you see the show?
Yeah.
Did you see the show, Dan?
Joe? Oh, yeah, I saw the show. And I was going to say, yeah, TNA has had so many ref bumps that all of them have been bumped out of the company. But that's besides the point.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you think of the main event?
With wit like that, you should contact Don Callis. Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
You mean after he recovers from the Jericho injury, quote-unquote?
Yeah, I'd like a few more.
Well, Daniel, did you like the main event more than I did?
Actually, I did. I'm a huge Dalton Castle fan, actually. So
yeah.
I loved seeing the title finally go back and go on to Castle. And I honestly do not believe that the title will be going back on Cody, because I don't think Cody's going to be in Ring of Honor for after maybe a couple more months. I think that Dalton's going to retain, and we may see, hopefully, the American Nightmare, not Stardust, back in the WWE.
I'll never say never. I mean, well, you know, they put it out there that he'd signed a couple-year deal with Ring of Honor. Could they have embellished a little bit for a reason like this? Maybe. He's got a really good thing going.
And Ring of Honor is one of those companies that, you know, it's the opposite of TNA, in which, you know, it's hey, I got this offer on the table, you know, are we cool? Can I do this? And they're like, yeah, you need to do what's right for you, and we respect our guys enough to allow them other opportunities when made available. And so I think this is one of those deals where another opportunity has been made available.
Can WWE, I mean, I shouldn't say can they, because yes, they can financially do whatever they want. But how do they make it worthwhile for Cody when he has this, you know, obviously the Bullet Club thing is doing very well. He's doing very well, both Ring of Honor and
it's
independently.
10,000-seat arena show against CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Well, no, but how does WWE...
Yeah, I know. How do they counter that? I mean, you know, we this is on the table, right? This 10,000-seat arena show.
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly, you know, Bullet Club members want to put Young Bucks, Cody want to put up their money and do this show. I mean, it might be the time where WWE, if he's contractually available, tries to step in and get him to prevent that from happening. I can't rule that out.
I think that's why.
If you're WWE, how do you make yourself more appealing to Cody this time around? It's been a while since he left, but he's been there. He knows what it's like. He certainly felt frustration with what they did with him creatively, and he's backed off on some of the comments he's made about the way he was utilized creatively. But I still don't think I don't think he's looking back going, man, I had it great, compared to what he has now. I think he's in a really good situation. So if you're WWE, what do you do to make yourself more appealing to him?
$1 million a year. I know he says he's making $1 million a year, and he probably, I mean, I watched, you know, a 3-hour autograph line for him, and he deserves that 3-hour autograph line for him. So, but at the same time, those 3-hour autograph lines eventually turn into 2-hour autograph lines and 1-hour autograph lines. You know, his stock is the highest it can and probably will be right now. Now is the time to cash in.
Okay, interesting. And
that's
Daniel's
me.
Other question was, when do we see Carmella cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase?
Last night.
Now, she didn't do it, though.
Yeah, I know.
She teased it.
we were ready for it. We're like, come on, Cassian. I mean, like, as I said, it was, I thought it was a boring pay-per-view, and I think at least we could have gotten a moment from that. So I don't know. I mean, every time I see her with the briefcase, it just upsets me how they dropped the ball with Baron Corbin's briefcase earlier this year. I mean, because that Money in the Bank, you know, once again, listening to 5 hours about Edge, that was so cool when the Money in the Bank is done correctly. And I don't think, you know, when Carmella eventually does, it'll be all that exciting. And I just, you know, and that Corbin burn was, you know, did he learn a lesson? Well, I know that me as a viewer learned a lesson that, wow, you really screwed us on Money in the Bank this year. That's the lesson I learned.
Yeah, I guess a question about that is there, what can they do between now and the next Money in the Bank to heat her up so that it matters when she cashes in? Because I've kind of, yeah, I mean, the Corbin thing was disappointing. Looking at it from just her perspective, it sure seems like when she won Money in the Bank, they generated a lot of interest with the screwy finish and all of that and the second Money in the Bank match, and people were kind of into what she and James Ellsworth were doing. And since then, it's just been a slow descent. You know, it doesn't feel like they're doing much of anything with her. And it's like, oh, yeah, and she has Money in the Bank still in play. But that's about it. So, I mean, do you envision them doing more? Or do you envision her winning, cashing in successfully?
No.
Or is it just going to some random SmackDown she'll cash in and lose?
No. I think it's set up now to where it'll be the Four Horsewomen versus Ronda Rousey's Four Horsewomen. So if they do, which, you know, it's going to feel like a rerun after watching, you know, Ruby Riott's Riott Squad and Paige's Absolution or whatever, you know, it's going to feel like the same thing. But I think Ronda Rousey and her Four Horsewomen will attack the Four Horsewomen, and that – and I think Carmella will be there to pick the bones, and that's when she'll cash in. And then you'll move that belt off of Charlotte Flair, because Charlotte won't need that belt going into a four women versus four women match at Mania.
So, everybody follow Johnny online, at Johnny Fairplay. Leave the H out of that, J-O-N-N-Y Fairplay is where you can find him on Twitter. You can also check out the Survival of the Fairest podcast. Go back and listen to those old episodes with Conrad Thompson as the host. There was one episode with Bruce Pritchard joining Johnny as well. And buy a T-shirt. Just don't answer the phone when he calls. And Johnny, anything else I'm forgetting to plug for you?
Sure. If you're looking for a jean jacket pin for that special someone in your life, go to fairplaypins.com. That's P-I-N-S. And you can get a Johnny Fairplay pin. They are only $10, and they make great stocking stuffers, and you do not get a phone call.
Maybe you could turn it into an ornament on the tree, even.
Good. So you can do all kinds of stuff with it. I have one of my jean jackets. Someone said it looked like one of the Trailer Park Boys. I don't think that was a compliment.
You have a jean jacket, huh?
Yeah.
Are they back in style? Because I'm the last guy to know these things now. It's another day. I'll put on a Viking shirt.
Yeah, no, like Dolph Ziggler would almost be cool right now if he wore a jean jacket, but it'd still be Dolph Ziggler.
So he'll change just in time for his denim look to come screaming back.
it won't work. So, but yeah, but go to fairplaypins.com and go VIP and subscribe to prowrestling.net. I do. I love it, and I think it is a fountain of information every week. I look forward to the .net weekly with either you or with Jake or Will or whoever you have. Was that a member exclusive, a look at Star Wars The Last Jedi this past week?
Absolutely it was.
Well, there you go. Right there is your money's worth. A 2-hour podcast about Star Wars?
It was. We may have gotten a little carried away.
Yeah, on a pro wrestling website. I love it. And if you guys have 3 months to spend, you can listen to Jason Powell and Will Pruitt review the Raw roster. I started SummerSlam night, and I listened every night for about 6 hours, and I just got through yesterday for the Raw roster evaluation, member exclusive. So thank you. That's great.
Well, thank you, Johnny. It's always good to talk to you. And everyone, again, buy that T-shirt, and when he calls, you can always, like, I don't know, hit the phone with a spatula or do something horrible to Johnny Fairplay, as we all like to do. But a big thanks to Johnny for joining the show. Special thanks to Kylan, Kevin, Jake, and Daniel for calling in. I hope I'm not leaving anybody out there, but I really appreciate the phone calls. Johnny mentioned membership, and I definitely want to take a moment to tell you about that. But I also want to tell you, maybe you've noticed on the site now, maybe you're not ready for membership. You know, it's Christmas season, whatever. You know, finances aren't there. If you want to help us out, an easy way to do it is by taking advantage of what we're now an Amazon affiliate. And you go to the main page of ProWrestling.net, and you'll find the details there. Basically, all you're doing is going to a special link that will bring you right to your regular Amazon. But when you end up making a purchase, doesn't cost you anything extra, but we get a little kickback from it. So no, you don't pay any extra, but again, we get a little something out of the deal. It's a small commission, but at the same time, it's a very helpful commission. So find the details on that on the main page of ProWrestling.net, and I would be very appreciative if you take the time to do that. If you are interested in membership, it is the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, both the website and our mobile site. And so if you're somebody going, man, you know, I'd like this, but I'd like it even more without the ads, well, there's an easy option for you. Plus, Johnny mentioned all of the audio content we've had. On the all-access side at pwaudio.net lately, you may have heard the samplers that we put out for the Raw and SmackDown roster evaluations. I think we went 4.5 hours discussing every single member of the Raw roster. I want to say, was it 2.5 or 3.5 hours doing the same for SmackDown? And I want to say another just shy of 2.5 hours for Ring of Honor. Impact Wrestling was done early in the year just because there was such a creative turmoil there. So that we'll probably kind of bump that again this year since we just did one in February. And, well, there's still, you know, more creative changes happening there. But NXT is still to come. Looking forward to doing that hopefully by the end of the year, if not very early, and sometime in January 2018 for sure. So it's a great time to get on board with .NET, hear all of those audio shows. Johnny mentioned it's just a fun addition that Will Pruitt and I do. We're both big fans of Star Wars, as I like to say. We're not the collectible types. Well, Will's got a little bit. I've got like 2 items that have been gifted to me, but you know, it's not like we have a room full of Star Wars posters and merchandise. I kind of wish I did, but my girlfriend would never let me get away with it. But we're both big fans of the movie, and I always say I will lose a trivia contest. And so if you're like, I know more than you do, yeah, you probably do, but it doesn't mean we don't enjoy the hell out of the movies. And we've gotten together the day after certainly episode 7. I think we had a little bit of a delay for Rogue One, but it's certainly there. And now episode 8. And so if you're looking for some fun Star Wars discussion, you can go back and listen to all of those. Certainly the most recent one just came out Friday morning after we both saw the Thursday night showing of The Last Jedi. Long story short, no spoilers, I enjoyed the hell out of it. So a good 2-hour discussion on that. The previous ones were about an hour in length. When I say we may have gotten a little out of control, I mean I, because I was hosting and could have cut it off at any point, but I love Star Wars. God, it was fun to talk about The Last Jedi with Will. That is just a fun aside that we do. Normally it's wrestling, and nothing but wrestling, so help us God. But in this case, we make the rare exception for Star Wars. But tonight the members will hear my audio review of Raw. Tomorrow they'll hear my audio review of SmackDown. We cover all the major television shows in audio form, NXT, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, I'm probably forgetting, oh, Lucha Underground, when that's in season as well, plus all the major pay-per-view events. The members heard me talk about Ring of Honor's final battle on Friday night after the show, just as they heard Jake Barnett and I discuss the WWE Clash of Champions last night after the show. That one, again, went about 58 minutes in length, just to give you an idea of how comprehensive we are when it comes to the coverage of these shows. If you are interested in membership, after all of that, to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, very simple. Visit our main page. Once you're there, you're going to see a sign-up area. Click into there, and you're going to find 3 different pricing options. Choose the one that works best for you. You can go monthly, 6-month, annual. Great time to sign up with all these roster evaluations alone, on top of all the other audio content that we do. And again, everything is ad-free. If you have any questions about membership or anything else for that matter, you can email me directly at dotnetjason@gmail.com or just .net Jason. But I always have to spell it out because my girlfriend, of all people, tried to go with the period and then net Jason, and it doesn't work that way. dotnetjason@gmail.com, or reach out on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. That is also a very simple option. And take a moment, subscribe to our Big Daily Podcast, rate and review us on iTunes. Anything you can do like that, you are helping out a small business, and it is greatly appreciated. We should be back the day after the Royal Rumble, if not before then, because that time of year we start to do a little bit more when it comes to the live content for some of these major shows. So keep an eye on the site, and I'm sure we'll be doing more than just the day after the Rumble show, but more details to come on that. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. Thank you again to the callers, and I will talk to the members later on tonight. Until then, take care.